As we start, Father, thanks for a great day. Thanks for this place. Thanks for the opportunity to be here with family and friends. And we pray tonight that you'll help us to hear whatever we need to hear from you. In Christ's name, amen. Tonight we're going to talk about GPS systems. How many of you have a GPS? Okay, so you know what it is. Yeah. And is that a helpful thing? Yeah, GPS is great. It's one of the neat things about GPS. It's one of the only times that men will listen to women give directions. Because this little female voice says, turn right, and you say, okay, and you do it. I mean, if your wife says it, yeah, right. So GPS is pretty cool. And we want to talk tonight about three things that are really critically important in GPS. The first one is that you have a reliable GPS, like one that actually has everything downloaded in it, has all the software, is reliable. Second is that you put in a good destination, that you know the destination, you have an address where you're going, you put that in. And the third is that you follow what the GPS says. Okay? So we want to do that tonight, and we're going to have you follow along, if you would, with an outline. But even if you don't want to do the outline, fill it in, we have something that everyone needs to do to start. Now, at the bottom, we're going to start from the bottom up tonight. At the bottom of your sheet, you have three questions, because we're going to say it's really critical that you know where you're going. And so there are three questions we're going to ask you all to ask. The first one is, where do you want to spend eternity? On our GPS, there's this first question that comes up, and it is, what's after you agree and sign that you won't sue them when you run into a tree and all that stuff. It comes up what state you're in, right? We're out here in San Diego. We're with our daughter, Julie. We're at Costco, and we're on our way home to her place, and Virginia said, man, this is so great. Julie wasn't with us. She was at her house. We were just driving there. This is so great because we're only like 3 minutes from Julie's house. So, great. So I punch in, but I punched in home. And we've been driving for, you know, maybe 10, 15 minutes, chatting, you know, we're having great family time. And Virginia goes, wow, we should be there by now. And this looks very unfamiliar. Well, unfortunately, we hadn't hit state. So the home we were going to was in Bedford, Massachusetts. So we were on our way home, the wrong home. So the first thing is, right in there, where you want to spend eternity. Let me help you with this so we don't take a lot of time. There are two choices. So this first one isn't very difficult. Heaven or hell? So do you want to spend eternity in heaven? If you do, right in heaven. If you want to spend eternity in hell, right in hell. And we don't want any seventh graders putting, hell, that sounds fun. I mean, this is actually a serious, serious question. Okay, heaven or hell, first one. Second is, how do you want to be remembered? When people remember you, sort of if they were writing something on your gravestone or saying something at your funeral, how would you want them to be, how would you like to be remembered? And then the third thing is, who on earth do you want to be faithful to? Who would you like to be known that I was faithful to? We'll take 3 minutes so you can write your own destination there. Okay, you got it? In a way, you might say this is sort of you're writing your own epitaph, which is sort of a morbid thought, but you're writing how you want to be remembered. Here are some actual epitaphs of how people have on their gravestones been remembered. This was Johnny Yeast. Here lies Johnny Yeast. Pardon me for not rising. Here lies the body of Jonathan Blake. Stepped on the gas instead of the brake. Sir John Strange. Here lies an honest lawyer, and that is strange. Born 1903, died 1942. Looked up the elevator shaft to see if the car was on its way down. It was. The children of Israel wanted bread, and the Lord sent them manna. Old Clerk Wallace wanted a wife, and the devil sent him Anna. And then in the last one, here lies an atheist all dressed up and no place to go. Well, I don't know what your is, but hopefully it's a little better than that, a little more serious. Anybody who is under 21 willing to read what they have, where you want to go, how you want to be? Yes, okay, stand up and do it loudly, please.
One who follows God with all his heart.
Okay, good. And where do you want to end up? All right, good. Okay, somebody else under 21, yes. Well, those three lines, like where you want to go. Great. Okay, that's excellent. Okay, anybody else under 21? Take one more. Okay, over 21. Anybody bold enough to say what you wrote down? Yes. Okay, good. That is excellent. Okay, anyone else? Any other adult? Yes. Okay, good. Those are great. I imagine if we took time and you're willing to go right around the room, you had some pretty good things up there, right? So for most of us, if we're honest, the problem isn't that we don't have a good destination. Probably most of us want to be remembered well. We want to be those who honor God. We want to be those who go to heaven. We want to be those who are faithful to those in our family and to the Lord. But getting from where you are today to the end of life and reaching that is the issue. And so I want to talk tonight how we do that. First, I want to talk about getting a reliable GPS system. I'm just going to mention three we have on your outline. One is a postmodern GPS system. That is one where people say, you know, maps are overrated. You know, there really isn't an absolute map. No one should tell you what road to take. All roads lead to the same place, if there really is a place. That's not very helpful, is it? Scripture says there in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. So probably that's not going to be it. The second one, feelings-guided system. That is, I just go wherever my heart leads me. Is that a good one? What's the problem with our hearts? Yeah. Jeremiah 17:9 says, a heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? What's wrong if we let our lives be guided by our feelings? How regular are your feelings? Yeah, some days we're feeling really like serving the Lord. Some days we're not. Some days we're feeling really generous. Some days we're not. Some days when we're not feeling well, we're very selfish. And if we go by our feelings, it's not a very direct path, is it? Years ago, some of you have heard this story, but I only have four good ones, so I repeat them every so often. But years ago, my father was involved in founding the camp, and they were bringing a boat from the mainland over here to Catalina, and it hadn't worked. They were working on it all night. It was a really old boat, and finally they got it working early in the morning. He was exhausted, and he had a student with him, and so as they're coming out of San Pedro Harbor, he said, all you need to do is point the boat to due south, and you will hit Gallagher's Cove. Just straight south. And so he went to sleep, and about an hour later, he woke up, and something just felt wrong, just the direction of the waves, and he went up, and he looked at the compass, and they weren't going anywhere near south. And he said to the student, what are you doing? I thought you were supposed to go south. And he says, you know, the compass was sort of bouncing around, and it was hard to keep my eye on the compass. But there was a cloud that was due south, and so I fixed my eye, and I've been following that cloud ever since. Student from USC. Well, what's the problem other than the choice of schools? The problem is, what do clouds do? Yeah, they move. They're just like our hearts, right? So if the way we live life is however our hearts lead us, we're in trouble. The third one, and this is the one we'll spend the next 4 hours on together, is God's protective system. He is the only reliable system. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. It gives direction. 119:9-11, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So we're going to say that we're going to use God's GPS, right? That is going to be what we're called to do. And if we follow that, we should get to our destination. I will say that we're all not going to go exactly the same. At least in our GPS, we have a Garmin, so we call her Garmy. And we can ask Garmy to direct us on the highway. For those who are type A and don't care about seeing anything, just get there. Or we can say all of it should be off the highway. Then you go scenically forever and ever and ever off the highway. But they both get you there, right? So we all live life a little differently. Some of us more casual. Some of us are a little more type A. Not the issue. What's the issue? That you're listening to the GPS. So first thing is that we pick a good GPS, that we have a good destination, and then that we listen to it. Well, I think as we're going along, there are a couple things that come to mind. One is that sometimes there are natural detours, right? That they're doing construction on the road or something like that. And so even though the GPS says keep going, you need to turn. But what happens? Is that like mess you up totally? It recalculates. You get that lovely voice, recalculate, recalculate. And it takes you around, and pretty soon you're on. And you know, in all of our lives, there are natural things that detour us from what we're really hoping will happen in our lives. They come, they're things that we didn't plan, they're not sin, they're hardships in our life, they're different things, and it may detour us for a little bit. But when we keep listening, we get back on track, and we're headed. Then there are times that we make intentional decisions that get us off track. At least I do. And when I'm driving, Garmy will say, and this is my biggest problem with Garmy, that I make the most mistakes, Garmy will say, turn right. It's really hard for me to multitask. So when Garmy says, turn right, I'm just in a habit when a female voice says something to do it immediately. And so I turn right. But you know what the problem is? There it says in another 500 feet. So I turn on this little side street. And then it says, recalculate, recalculate, recalculate. How much am I slowed up? A little bit. But if I listen to Garmin, do I get back on? Absolutely. I don't know about you, but I think I sin. I know I sin, but when we repent, God is faithful. He brings us back on, and we're on our way again, right? That's incredible truth of the gospel. But then there's another area, and this is the one I'm most concerned in all of our lives, and that is the intentional choice to go the opposite way of the GPS. If you have a destination, and you've plugged it in your GPS, And when the GPS says turn right, you turn left. When it says turn left, you turn right. When it says drive straight for 3 miles, you turn. What's going to happen? If you consistently, intentionally, don't go along with the GPS, what chance is it you're going to end up at your destination? Yeah. You know, some of us are shocked. Oh, I can't believe I didn't end up where I wanted to go. But we have intentionally chosen to go against God's word, right? His directions. So we're going to list a few of them here. One is one of the wrong turns we often intentionally take is instead of listening to God's voice, we listen to our friend's voice. I really appreciate you junior hires through college in here tonight. You may be tempted at some point to listen to your friend's voice instead of to God's. Because at your age, it's important to be popular and to have people like you. When you're old, like your parents, they don't care if anybody likes them. So, but you care about it. Now, I'm going to do this. I haven't prepped this, so it could backfire on me. But if you have been out of high school for over 15 years, I want you to raise your hand if you have three or more really close friends that you're regularly in contact with from your junior high or senior high years. Okay, look around, kids. One, two, three, four out of five, six out of over 100 adults. Listen to me real clear on this, because this is the problem with friends. Many of you are or will be tempted to make choices in life so you'll be thought to be cool, not to be odd, so you'll be in the in crowd, so you won't offend your really close friends who 15 years from now won't even know who you are. And some of you will be dead because you listen to your friends instead of listening to God. Some of you will make really hard choices. And now, fortunately, your parents never do this. Because they don't care, right? They don't care what their friends think. They don't buy houses because their friends do, or drive cars like their friends do, or wear clothes like their friends do, or go vacations like their friends do. Come to CBS like all your friends did. I'll just keep talking. That's fine, but thanks. Sort of how an illustration can tank, you know. No. No, wow. We as adults are prone to this, to listen to advice from bad friends. Virginia and I do counseling, and so many times we'll be talking to a couple who are ready to get divorced, and you know what they'll say? Well, my friends all say leave the jerk or jerkus. And you know what we always ask immediately? Tell us about your friends. And almost always, they're not believers or they're believers who are giving unbiblical advice. So whether we're kids, whether we're adults, friends can take us off a track. We follow that long enough, we don't have much chance of hitting the destination we wanted, right? Second is success. Some of us adults, this is a special thing for some of us. For some of us guys, especially, we want to be the best. We want to make a lot of money. We want to be successful. And that can take us away from the destination. We say we want to be faithful to our family, love God, but the way we're living is very, very different. Bob Cranian is a friend of ours who, he was a pastor at EV Free Fullerton, interim pastor there after Chuck Swindoll left. And he tells a story of flying on an airplane after he had spoken at a conference. He was exhausted. He got in the plane, and many of you have done this, I'm sure. There was nobody in the row. He was so exhausted, and he thought, finally, I can just relax. And the door shut, and there's one more man. Haven't we all been there? one person coming down the aisle, and you know they're going to sit with you. And he did. So he sits down right by Bob. Bob had just barely gotten on before this guy. He had his Bible out on his lap, and the guy sat down, and this man, as Bob described him, he said his suit cost more than my whole wardrobe cost. He said he had an alligator briefcase and an alligator skin shoes. And he sat down, he looked at Bob, and he said, "Sir," he said, "you are sitting next to the most successful man you will ever sit next to. And I don't believe a thing in that book you have on your lap." He said, "I have companies in three countries. I have over 1,000 employees." He said, and he just goes on and on and on. Well, Bob isn't timid. So Bob came back, and he said, "Well, isn't that a coincidence? Because you're sitting next to probably the most successful man you've ever sat next to." And he says, "I've been married to my wife for 25 years, and we have an incredible marriage. I can't wait to get home to her. And I have two boys. I try to arrange my schedule so I can be at their sporting events, and we're just like friends. We're doing stuff together, and I miss those guys so much, and I actually do something that not only I hope is helping people here, but it's gonna affect where they live the rest of eternity. And that's the sort of work I do." And he turned, ready for the comeback from Mr. Alligator Shoes, and he turned and he saw tears running down his face. Mr. Alligator Shoes said, "Well," he said, "2 weeks ago, I went home. And as I walked in the kitchen, there was a note on the refrigerator that said, 'You will never see your daughters and me again. Goodbye.'" They talked for the flight. As they were waiting for their luggage, Mr. Alligator Shoes said, "You've probably never flown next to more of a failure than me, have you?" Well, what was it? Success is alluring, isn't it? And so easy to take us off track of what's really important. Happiness. Happiness is one of those things that it's easy to go off. Don't we deserve to be happy? Shouldn't we be happy? Shouldn't we just make decisions that make us happy? Not necessarily. We should choose decisions that make us godly. I'm sure in a room this size, there are those of you that are divorced. You've come out of divorced families, and I in no way want to make you feel badly about your past or guilt there. We can't change history. History is over. It's done. But we can affect our future. So here, my heart, it's always going future. We have a very, very close friend who, after 25 years, is walking away from his wife and his four kids. His reason is he deserves to be happy. She nags a little bit, and she's a little shrill, and he just thinks he should be happy. He's found somebody else that makes him happy. We hear that word, it's interesting, the word happy is used in our marriage counseling office more than probably any other word, which is odd because we do counseling with people who are miserable. They don't say we're happy, they say, "Don't I deserve to be happy, so I do anything that makes me happy?" Well, you know, my question to this friend was, you know, isn't it odd? Your wife says, "I'll be happy if you stay married to me." Your four kids say, "We'll be happy if you stay married to mom." So how come you get to be happy at the four, five other people who don't? See, happiness is one of those things we take, and as we've seen in so many lives, it derails us, and we don't get to where we originally said our destination was. Hormones? Can hormones do it? You know, even at this age, I still have hormones, so I know what I'm talking about. I won't talk about that anymore, because I can see you're very uneasy right here in the front seat. But hormones can derail us from going to where we said we wanted to go. We get involved with somebody we shouldn't. When we teach on this, we say there are four things that you need in a relationship. You need conviction, character, compatibility, and chemistry. Don't walk down the aisle without all four of those. What draws people into relationship in our culture today? First, out of those. Chemistry, right? He's hot. He's hot. We have this thing. When I saw her first, my hair stood on end. Electricity was going out. I knew she was for me. Right? Well, some of you, that would not be a problem. I didn't mean to bring that up. But anyway, so if there's enough chemistry, this thing's going to work, right? Or some people actually go to compatibility. Like, we've got chemistry, we both have sexual attraction for each other, and we both like rock climbing. Is there anything better than that? This is a marriage made in heaven but very few people get to, what sort of a character does this person have? And what are their convictions? Is this a believer? Are we two believers who are passionate about the Lord, marrying each other? Do we believe in God's word? And if we don't do that, our hormones can take us off track. And the next thing you know, we say marriage is the second most important decision you'll ever make in life. I can tell you countless stories, which we won't. But next to your decision whether to follow Christ, who you marry will determine more than anything else where your life goes. So many times we'll look at a family and go, wow, they all came out, but they all ended. And then you start looking where the marriages were. And almost always it's a marriage choice that takes us. So hormones are important. And the last thing I want to mention, and this is for all of us, but especially teens, party scene. Party scene can really affect where we go. This can be being popular as well. I don't want to make any dogmatic statements, but I want to talk about alcohol a little bit, okay? And if I'm offended by that, if you're offended by that, I won't be offended by it. I'm saying it. But if you're offended by what I say, that's okay. There are lots of people that want to get into CBS. So anyway, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I've been following this gal, and I don't know why, but I saw it somewhere, and I've been following it. Natalie Holloway. Do you know who that person is? This is a gal who in 2005, I think it was, went to Aruba for a senior class party, and she died. Now, a couple things about this. One is her mom and her parents sent her with their blessing. Now, what do you think they thought the senior class was going to do in Aruba? In fact, in the orientation, they said one of the great things is the drinking age is young here, so everybody can drink. So I don't want to be dogmatic on this, but the reason Natalie Wood is dead... What did I say? Oh, Natalie Wood is dead probably because of alcohol, too. She fell over the boat. I'm sure she was drunk. That was the thing. But that's another deal. Okay. Natalie Holloway is dead because of alcohol. She's dead of alcohol more than she's dead of the guy who killed her or whatever. Now, I'm not taking away from the tragedy, from his wrongdoing and all of that, but she was not thinking clearly. And the reason I want to say this, especially you youth, is I don't know about you, but a lot of people say they drink so they're less inhibited, to be more fun. I have a huge problem not sinning fully inhibited. Why would I want to be less inhibited? You need to be in charge of all of your faculties. Now to parents. And if I'm offending anybody, anyway, we are finding more and more parents who at 21 are celebrating, Christian parents who are celebrating with their 20-year-old by going to bars with them, drinking. You know, I don't know. There are lots of ways to celebrate turning 21. But it seems to me introducing or encouraging is not exactly going to help us get to the destination, right? Okay. Last thing on this, and I'll get off. A lot of people say, I drink responsibly, and there's nowhere in Scripture that says you can't drink. Don't come to me afterwards and argue this, because this is not worth our time. So I understand that. But a lot of people drink, say, but I only get drunk twice a year. I mean, I drink responsibly, okay. Often, 4th of July party and New Year's, I get drunk. And I say, I understand. I only commit adultery twice a year. I only commit adultery on my birthday. No, what are you? Wake up here, folks. We need to make sure you hear that was not true. But why was that so shocking? Because anybody who said I only commit adultery twice a year, people go crazy over. Right? But if I only get drunk twice a year, see, all these things can derail us. We need to. Okay, here's the last thing we want to go on to. That is, and we've done those. Okay? Now we are going to go to talk about unplugging the GPS. Have you ever unplugged your GPS? Why do you unplug something that would take you where you want to go? The voice gets so daggone annoying. Okay, recalculating. If you are always intentionally going the wrong way, you will pull the plug. And you know how we know we're pulling the plug? You quit praying. You quit reading Scripture. You quit hanging around Christian friends. And you quit going to church. Because his voice is so annoying. Because God keeps speaking to us. And we don't want to hear that annoying voice that says, recalculate. So we just stay away from anybody or anything that's going to speak truth into our life. The other, and this is not because of our choices necessarily, but there are times in life where we unplug it because we really feel the GPS has let us down. Our oldest daughter, Carrie, was away at school when our niece committed suicide. And Carrie really, really had a hard time with that. And so for a short period of time, she unplugged the GPS. Because how could God do this? My best friend in the family, my best cousin friend, the one I looked up to. So we're well aware that there are times where it just seems that this voice can't be good. And yet, as in Carrie's life, which we're so thankful for, there came a time she realized going on her own wasn't the answer. So it got plugged back in, and there was a detour a little bit, and then back on the road again. Because the GPS, we are so much better listening to the GPS than just going it on our own. But what are our choices that we have? Then it is never too late to plug it in again. Some of us say, well, I have been on the wrong road for so long that there's no way I'll ever get back. Is that true? No matter where you are, you can have made 827 wrong turns. And when you plug it in, it starts directing you back, does it not? And that's so important for us to hear, no matter where we've been, what we've done, that God is going to forgive us when we confess our sins, when we're repentant. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, no matter, it doesn't matter, it doesn't say how much, from all unrighteousness. So, might sound good. So why don't we just go off for a while? Sound fun. We'll just do whatever we want. And then we'll turn back. Lisa, our daughter, was talking to a friend of hers, and the friend said, Lisa, I'm going to live a wild life until I get 50. And when I'm 50 and you can't have fun anymore, then I'm going to come back to Jesus. What's the problem with that? Well, a number of problems. One, you could die at 49. That'd be a bummer. Another one is you miss out on traveling with Jesus, right? I think a lot of us really don't believe that. A lot of us think it's really better to go our own way if we come back, but it's always better not to sin than to sin and be forgiven. Always, and you talk to anybody in here who's been down that road, and they'll say, I wish I hadn't gone down that road. And then the last thing I want to say is, you can always get back, but there are things you miss out on. Sometimes you miss the event you were supposed to go to because you took too many wrong turns. And God really wants us to enjoy our life abundantly, fully, all that he has for us. And as he does that, we will, as we follow his GPS, we will have a good chance of getting there. So, how are you doing? You look over that list. What is it that it tends to be that which pulls you off of God's path for your life? And that's the area you want to focus on and really say, I'm going to, when that temptation is there, I'm going to listen to God's GPS and continue to follow him. Okay? Where we are today to where we want to be, God wants us to experience life fully, and he's given us all that we need for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you have given us your word, and we ask that you will really help us to believe that following your word is the absolute best choice we could ever make. And we want to acknowledge that we often make choices that are not honoring to you, not best for us, and we ask that you would help us to come to you, to confess those areas of sin in our life. Thank you that you forgive them, that we can start anew, that we can plug the GPS back in, that we can get back on track, and that we can be those people that you have put in our hearts to always be. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.